To the Freedom Message, the show with Stephen Vincent, and the Freedom Message, the song by Scott Mitchell. You just heard it here first on the Freedom Message with Stephen Vincent on bbsradio.com. Thank you for listening. The number to call into the show is 877-270-8714, 877-270-8714. And we're privileged to have with us today on the line the author of that fabulous new Ron Paul song, The Freedom Message, Mr. Scott Mitchell. Are you there with me, Scott?
Yes, I am. Hello.
Hi, Scott. How are you?
I'm doing great, Stephen. How are you, sir?
Good. Well, thanks so very much for writing that song. I really, really love it.
Well, thank you. And by the way, you're a helper, you're a co-writer on that.
Yeah, I know. He did give me a few credits on that because I wrote a few lines, but really the kudos go to Scott for his work on the song. And Scott, by the way, also wrote Freedom Message Train, which when I heard it, instantly became the theme song for the All-America Walk in support of Ron Paul's Freedom Message, which we did on the 26th, the next one coming up on the 13th of October. So we're really lucky to have great artists like Scott Mitchell on our Ron Paul team to give us inspiring songs to spread the message by.
Well, that's what we hope we do. That's the one way I can really contribute, is to use that kind of gift and hope that it inspires the same sort of activity that Ron Paul's message inspires in me.
Exactly. You know, I think we're inspired by Ron Paul, and he's inspired by us. He's said so a number of times, you know, the things that we do. And I think that's a really beautiful thing. And the amazing pool of talent that has emerged from the Ron Paul movement, I think it's really bringing out the best of America.
It is. I'm hearing all kind of songs being submitted and all kind of genres of music. I'm hearing about bands united for Ron Paul. There's a lot going on musically to help support this freedom message.
Absolutely, musically and creatively on so many different levels. Yesterday we had a young man in Washington, D.C. that's spearheading the Ron Paul National Commercial Week, where they're actually developing their own 30-second television commercials and raising the funds by forming a political action committee to put those commercials out on the air. So yet another example of the amazing creativity that's being unleashed by the Ron Paul Freedom message.
It really is. It's a great idea, too. I'm just so glad to see that the movement, the message, the revolution has really got a life of its own, and it's not being controlled necessarily by one central area. It's all these individuals uniting over this message.
Absolutely, absolutely. It really, truly, truly is a phenomenon. It really, truly is a important inflection point in history. In the history of this country, it might even be in the history of this world, because let's face it, what happens to this country to a significant extent is going to determine the future of the world. If liberty should fail here, where shall it succeed? Scott, I want to say something that I am absolutely blown away by. Are you aware of the online campaign that the Ron Paul campaign is waging right now to raise money?
Yes, I just heard that they've reached their goal and they've decided to shoot for another half a million.
They didn't reach the goal, Scott. They've blown past it. I would say, since I last checked, about 20 minutes ago, I think they've added another $20,000. It's now at $541,086.67. It's absolutely phenomenal. I mean, we have blown away the goal in less than half the time allotted. We're on our way to raising $1 million in 6 days. We're on track for that. I'm looking at it right now, Scott. This little gizmo they put on the website, it automatically updates when somebody makes a contribution. And in the time that I've just been speaking with you, in the last less than a minute, I would say it has updated. There it goes again. I would say it's updated maybe seven times in the last 30 seconds, 35 seconds.
That's the power of this message.
And every time the person's name shows up on the screen, and it's Oklahoma, it's Massachusetts, it's all over the country, people with all different kinds of surnames, wide varying amounts of $500, of $50, of $20. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Are you near your computer?
Yes, I am.
Go on to ronpaul2008.com. You can watch it yourself. I was sitting at home last night doing some email work, and I was just sort of like checking it once in a while, and it was late at night, and it was still updating. It just did it again. Paul Melnick in Olympia, Washington. It's absolutely, literally phenomenal.
That's great.
I mean, we are well on our way to raising $1 million in just 6 days. I don't know what that works out to if we, you know, if we call that $1 million a week, you know, in the next 4 months, you know, that'd be $16 million that we can raise by just doing this alone. That's assuming the rate of change doesn't increase. So there it goes again. Amazing!
It's finally watched that thermometer.
Yeah, isn't it incredible?
Yeah.
Luke
really
Connolly, Sylvan Beach, New York. Thank you very much, Luke. Here it goes again. There we go. I mean, it's like every couple of seconds somebody's putting something in the kitty.
That's awesome.
I'm speechless. I mean, just videotaping this alone and, you know, is news. You know, I mean, this should be on this. What we're seeing right now is news. Okay. I would like any of the other. I would challenge any of the other campaigns to put up a similar gizmo on their site and try a similar fundraiser. Here it goes again.
There's not another candidate out there that incites this.
Jack Hurley, Mount Pleasant, South Carolina. Thank you very much, sir. I'm sorry, Scott. What were you saying?
I said that, you know, you can challenge any other candidate to do that, but there's not another candidate out there that is standing for the liberty the way the Ron Paul campaign is.
Yeah. I mean, there's no way. If they were to attempt this, it might update a couple of times a day. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, here it goes again.
That's great.
It's amazing. I mean, I'm speechless. I mean, I can't believe the support, and they just keep telling us that we've got 2% of the population supporting Ron Paul. I mean,
I don't believe that.
No, I just cannot believe it. You know why I don't believe it as well? When I go out on the street with a Ron Paul sign with some of my local Ron Paulers, I mean, we're out there. I would say we could be there for half an hour, and already 10 people have honked their horns at us, give us thumbs up, go, yay, Ron Paul.
Oh, yeah.
You know? I mean, people pull over, they ask for bumper stickers.
Stephen, are you aware that there's even a website called Brits for Ron Paul? Have you seen that one?
No. Tell me about it.
There's a website, Brits for Ron Paul, and it's B-R-I-T-S with a numeral 4. And there's, in other words, he's even got support in Great Britain. And I know of folks over there that wish they could vote for him because there's such, his ideas of freedom are what they're rooting for because they see the path we've taken as a country in the last several decades. And, there's a lot of folks that are really hoping all over the world that we get a real conservative, a real freedom-loving leader in this nation.
Yeah. Well, speaking about that, let's go over to the ronpaul.meetup.com site and have a look at what we got. Oh, my God. We're now at 47,831 members in 930 groups in 751 cities in 21 different countries. The last time I checked,
wow,
it was 19 countries. Now at 21 different countries all over Europe. It looks like parts of Asia, the Middle East. It looks like Israel even has a Ron Paul meetup. Is that right? Is the Tel Aviv Ron Paul meetup group? One member, but hey, they got something going over there.
That just goes to show you that the freedom message is not limited to this country.
No. And I had the displeasure of playing a piece of audio from Mr. George W. Bush yesterday, where he appeared before the United Nations, and he spoke of the international, let me check my notes from yesterday, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and the International Bill of Rights, and exalting this globalist document of how it's, you know, the future of humanity, essentially, without once mentioning the U.S. Constitution, the U.S. Bill of Rights. Of course, he wouldn't mention it, given all the damage that he's done to it. And, and that's the freedom message. The freedom of global government is what he was preaching yesterday. So what do we have in Ron Paul? Someone who's really preaching the real deal. Who's talking about the real freedom that comes from the individual, not from globalism, not from collectivism, the freedom of the individual. And,
that's
right. You know, such a rare message right now in the world.
Don't you feel that there's a lot of Americans that are sick and tired of hearing our president and other leaders trying to spread democracy when democracy was the one form of government rejected by our founding fathers?
Mm-hmm. They had a good look at it, and they said it didn't sound like a real good idea. You know,
that's right.
You know, they said no. We need to actually protect the rights of the individual from the tyranny of the majority, because the majority
can
be convinced that anything is a good idea. Well, let's have a good example.
That's true.
For a while there, the majority was convinced that the Iraq War was a good idea. You know?
That's right.
Then maybe they're going to convince the majority that not having habeas corpus, due process of law, is a good idea. Maybe they're going to convince the majority of people that a lot of really bad ideas are good ideas. But because they got the majority on their side, therefore under a so-called democracy, you know, they can have their way. Well, in a republic, it's not what the majority thinks is good, it's what the rule book says. Okay?
That's right.
Now, you have a set of rules by which the country is governed, and you stick to them. You don't just throw them aside when it's no longer convenient because it doesn't match your agenda. And
that's right. Don't you love Benjamin Franklin's definition? Have you heard that one, Stephen?
What's that again?
Benjamin Franklin's definition of democracy and republic.
Go for it.
That democracy was three wolves in a sheep voting on what to have for lunch.
Right, exactly.
And a republic was a well-armed sheep contesting the vote.
Well, there you go. There you go. Well, we're certainly going to contest, and hopefully we won't be doing it as sheep. We certainly are contesting right now. Lately in the media reports that I've been picking up and playing on the show lately, the tone has changed to a recognition that something's going on with this Ron Paul campaign. They can no longer, with a straight face, deny that something's going on. Now, what they're doing is they're recognizing it as an internet phenomenon, and that's what we need to move away from, because we are, you could say that we're an internet phenomenon, but we're not merely an internet phenomenon. We're a real live human being taking action phenomenon, because we're out there doing stuff in real time, in real life, with this campaign. So we need to break through on that, and that's what things like this weekend we have the National Paint the Town Ron campaign, where in over 100 cities across the country we're going to be hanging banners all over, Ron Paul banners, and just plastering our cities, Paint the Town Ron. And then in a couple of weeks from then we'll be having the next All America Walk in support of Ron Paul's freedom message, both nationally coordinated actions which will prove that, we are much more than just an internet phenomenon. That we are a phenomenon of real Americans taking real action for a real candidate that they really, really support. And we support his message.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So, let's see. Well, I again wanted to go ahead and thank you for that amazing song. And it's certainly going to continue to be played on the show.
Thank you for the privilege of it. And by the way, Stephen, I think what I'm going to try my best to do is have my son Wesley edit another video for YouTube like he did with the Freedom Train.
No, go for it.
And so we'll have that up, and maybe I'll send you an email to let you know about that when it's done.
Oh, absolutely. That'll be fantastic. That'll be fantastic. Well, I want to thank you again for coming on the show. And taking
thank
your time
you
and any other ideas, musically or any other, that you may have, please go ahead and get them to me. And
we have an idea in the works right now we're thinking about doing. I've got a good friend of mine who I'm going to try to get to sing a new song, and yeah, I think you'll like this one. It's going to be a little bit about, a little bit of commentary on this war.
Man, what do you think about a Ron Paul Freedom festival? Of some sort. We get a whole bunch of these Ron Paul musicians together and have some kind of a festival somewhere.
That is a great idea. Great idea. I don't know how to implement something like that, but boy, I know there's a lot of people out there writing songs about the Ron Paul and the revolution, so it would be great to have something like that, Stephen.
Yeah. I'm not in a position to take on yet another project. I'm at the outer reaches of what I can take on. But I would certainly support you with any effort that you might make to do something with that. So
Putting the word out there, who knows, somebody might take the ball and run with it. That would be great.
Okay, well, you guys out there, you're hearing this conversation, and you want to get together a Ron Paul Freedom Festival and get together all the best Ron Paul supporter musicians for a festival. Think of a good location. Maybe Texas would be a good spot in the middle of the country. Get people together for that, and you want to get together with Scott Mitchell. How would people get a hold of you, Scott? Is there an email? What do you think?
They can contact me through, my best thing would be to contact me through the email address. They can send me messages on the Ron Paul Freedom Train YouTube site, too. But the best way to probably contact me is email, and that would be smitchell14@satx.rr.com.
Okay, give them that one more time.
Yeah, it's S as in Scott Mitchell, no period, just S Mitchell, and then the numbers 1 and 4. S Mitchell 14 at SATX, which is San Antonio, Texas, .rr, which is Roadrunner.com.
Perfect, perfect. Well, thanks again for coming on the show. Anytime, give me a call. You know, you don't have to be invited. You just have to pick up the phone and let Seth know you're calling, and I'll have you on the show, and we'll chat, okay?
I'd love to do it, and thank you, Vince, Stephen. We appreciate it, all you're doing there.
Oh, my pleasure, my pleasure. All right, folks, there it is. Scott Mitchell, our good friend, calling in, thanking him again for his wonderful new song, The Freedom Message, that he wrote for us. All right, Scott, goodbye now.
Good, and we should be back now. We should be back now on the mic, off the phone and back on the mic for you. So, let's see what we have for you today. Quite a lot going on. I've been dealing with some technical issues in terms of setting up the new sound system, and we're still working on the phone part of it, so we had to go to the telephone, and we haven't got the telephone integrated into the system yet, so that's just something we're working on. But I hope you're enjoying the new higher quality audio that we're able to bring you. And let's see, where do I want to start today? Well, we could talk about the monetary situation again. We know that the Federal Reserve lowered interest rates a few days ago, in that the U.S. dollar is plunging, just as the thermometer of the Ron Paul Revolution has represented. You know what? I bet you it's up to $550,000 by now. In the last few minutes that I'm talking, it was like 541 or 542. I'm going to check in a few minutes. And every time I look at it, my mind is just blown away. Let's check out the dollar and see what's going on with the U.S. dollar right now. Okay, it's about flat for the day. So nothing's really happening there at the moment. But what is happening, it is consolidating. Consolidating means over a period of time, say 5 days to 2 weeks or so, a financial instrument will kind of hover more or less in a range in a certain area. Right now, it's kind of bouncing around the bottom. Now, it's stuck in this band. It's in this band of support, what's known as a band of support. 78 on the bottom, 80 on the top. It's fallen through the 80 level, and it's just about touched the 78, came down to 78.20. So it's stuck right now in this band. There's a prayer, a vague one, but there's a prayer that the dollar could, because it's so what's called oversold, and a lot of people are short the dollar, because they sold it short, in order to close out your short position, in which you make money when the instrument goes down, you have to buy it to close it out. So some people at this point might think, well, the dollar is due for a bounce. It can't go down any further. It's plunged. I'm going to cover my position. And then some of the speculators will jump in, and they might drive it up from here. Now, matter of fact, under normal circumstances, that's exactly what should happen right now. The dollar should bounce, if only what they call a dead cat bounce. That's the term in the industry, dead cat bounce. It means if you throw a dead cat down on the ground hard enough, it'll bounce. Even if it's dead, it'll bounce. Okay? So the dollar has been thrown down so hard that it's due for a dead cat bounce. Now, if it doesn't get a dead cat bounce off of this level, and this is a historic level that goes back 12 years, it always bounces from here. Now, usually off the 80 level, but it has gone down as low as 78 once, I think. Once it went down to 78 and bounced back from there. If it does not bounce back from this level, if it doesn't even get a dead cat bounce, baby, the dollar is history. Stick a fork in it, it's done. Well, I think we can say that already. We don't need this to play out to say that. We can say that it's done. There isn't anything that I can think of that can rescue the dollar at this point. It's done. The only thing that could have saved it was the Fed raising interest rates. Instead, right now, what are they doing? They're lowering interest rates. So, the dollar is, for all intents and purposes, history. When it breaks down from the 78 level, it's going to be a doozy. We're looking at a depreciation of the dollar and something on the order of 20 to 40% in a short period of time. Now, the ramifications of that are difficult to summarize, and I'm going to try to get some experts on to help us with that. But right now, what I'd like to do is play some audio from Ron Paul on a show called Gold Seek Radio. Gold Seek Radio. And this is something that I have listened to with some regularity. And they have some pretty knowledgeable experts on this type of subject on the show. And they have actually, you know, I have to tell you, this is one of the ways that I found out about Ron Paul. I found out about Ron Paul because of his views on sound money and gold and silver and constitutional money. And he was frequently brought up by experts on this show. And this is one of the ways that I found out about Ron Paul a couple of years ago. So I'm going to go ahead and play this for you. And then we'll talk about that a little bit. So let me see. I think everything's all set. Here you go. Ron Paul with Chris Waltzek on GoldSeek.com.
Welcome to GoldSeek.com's Gold Nugget, a special presentation by Gold Seek Radio. This week's featured guest is Congressman Ron Paul, economist and presidential candidate.
Welcome back, Congressman.
Thank you. Nice to be with you.
You know, just last week, the Fed opted to drop their benchmark lending rate down half a point from 5.25% to 4.75%. And Dr. Paul, the last time the Fed cut rates was way back in 2003, 4 years ago. You know, the central bankers noted inflation and difficulty in the housing market as primary concerns.
I told Bernanke the other day when he was before the Financial Services Committee, how can you solve the problems of monetary inflation with massive new monetary inflation? And that's exactly what they're trying to do. The problem has been that interest rates have been artificially low over many years. You do have consequences, and you can't solve that by just printing more money. To give Bernanke a little bit of room, he really isn't the main organizer of this problem we have today, because it really started under Greenspan, and now Bernanke has gotten this delivered to him. But nevertheless, both he and all central bankers believe in the same thing, that they think they can do central economic planning through monetary policy. But I'm not very hopeful that they can pull this one out even as well as they did in 1979. I think we're in a lot more serious problems than we were then.
I think you hit the cover off the baseball there. When we look at the John Williams inflation stats, I know that you and your folks keep an eye on his numbers as well. Almost 14% on this number. So not only are they dropping rates, which is, as you mentioned, inflationary, but also behind the scenes, the wizard has moved our money supply up to record levels we haven't seen since the 1970s.
Right. They try to get people distracted from that. In a way, that helps to a degree. You know, markets respond psychologically to reports by the Federal Reserve, and they're always hopeful that they can change events by denying some of these statistics, whether they're fudged CPI figures or denied M3 figures. That might, you know, affect the market short term, but eventually objective facts play an important role on which way the dollar will go. So that might reassure a few. And this was the other thing I mentioned to Bernanke. I said, first you pour in billions of dollars worth of reserves, and then you open the discount window very wide, and then you lower the overnight rates, and the markets responded very quickly and exuberantly. Still, we're back right now to the markets not looking all that healthy, so I think they're not going to be able to solve this problem. I think we're in for a very serious downturn in our economy.
Now they've set into motion the precedent of lower rates. Well, I mean, they could stop at 4.75%, but I doubt it. So, you know, we could see further rate cuts at the upcoming FOMC meetings. That's just more grease on the cogs that send stocks higher and commodities too.
This reminds me of, if I remember correctly, it was probably January of 2001, after the stocks broke in 2000, and then surprisingly they lowered the rates, and it wasn't a quarter point, it was a whole half a point, which surprised everybody in 2000, and yet it really didn't head off the recession, even though the recession was not nearly as bad as some of our other ones. They were able to, you know, inflate the housing bubble, even though the NASDAQ bubble collapsed. But I think they saw some very, very serious signs, and to keep things inflated, that's when Greenspan then took the interest rates, overnight rates, down to 1%, you know, for a long period of time. So they have had, and we have suffered from massive monetary inflation during those years, and now we're suffering the consequences. I just think that inflation of the money supply is much more significant than anything we've had in a long, long time. And that's why we're seeing the M3 numbers so large, and even the CPI numbers, when you look at the real CPI and the real cost of living for a certain segment of the economy, like the poor and the middle class, I think the cost of living is going up. I think their standard of living is going down. And that's why I think the people are more concerned than a lot of politicians give them credit for, because they claim the government statistics are so correct. But only time will tell on whether they can get a reprieve on this and, you know, introduce enough confidence that people will go back to spending. But doesn't look like they're going to be able to do it to me.
You know, Dr. Paul, you touched on this, what some folks are referring to as Greenspan's folly. On one side of the argument, he's revered as the greatest chairman of the Fed we've ever had. And then the gold camp claims, well, he was behind pushing these interest rates down and all the inflation that came along with it. In a recent interview, Sir Alan pointed out the Fed would be forced to raise rates to the double-digit levels in order to deal with the inflation that will be coming about due to these policies. Once again, that sends us back to the 1970s. What do you think would happen socioeconomically if his prediction there comes true?
Well, it's going to be devastating, and they'll be between the rock and a hard place, because if they raise the rates, recession will be worse than we had in 80 and up to 82. If they don't raise the rates, then we're going to have soaring inflation and probably a very weak economy. That's what I predict will happen, at least at this point. I think they're more fearful of the recession, so they're willing to inflate. But, of course, in the late 70s, early 80s, that's when Volcker had to come in and say, no, the dollar is going to be destroyed. Remember, we even had to call in the IMF to help us out because we ran out of reserves. And that's likely to happen again. But I think economically, we're going to start paying the bills. I mean, if people were able to borrow against equity that is collapsing right now in order to enhance their standard of living by just going into debt, that comes to an end. And all of a sudden, they quit spending, which I think they have to. I mean, this is going to have big ramifications. I mean, I think revenues are going to go down for governments, and they're going to be in a bind because they won't be able to raise taxes very easily. If they do, they'll make things worse. If they don't do that, they have to cut back on public services, which they can't. So they're going to resort to inflation, and which means everything puts pressure on the dollar. And I think the fact that the dollar on the index going below 80 is very, very significant, and I expect that to continue downward.
As you point out, we haven't just broken 80. We've broken all the technical support, you know, down in that 78 level, and this portends much lower prices. You know, the Federal Chief Bernanke and Treasury Secretary Hank Paulson testified before the Congressional House Committee regarding that housing implosion that we're seeing here. You've made it very clear that this is also tied in directly with the money situation, the monetary situation. But, you know, Bernanke actually admitted that we should expect an increase in these soaring foreclosure rates.
Yeah, and I think the people in the hard money camp, people understand Austrian economics, knew the bubble was being inflated for decades. I remember Jim Grant talking about this 10 years ago, and he had great statistics to show how dangerous it was. And yet it's continued for this length of time. It took a long time for it finally to burst. Sometimes it takes longer than a lot of us anticipate. We may know it's coming, but we don't know when it's going to come. So it was created by the Federal Reserve, excessive credit, but it was also made worse by the Community Reinvestment Act and the pressure we put on banks to make these loans, the insurance that governments provide. So we take this credit and we pump it into certain areas with additional regulations. But now, what are they doing up here? Not only is the Fed inflating again, trying to protect Wall Street, but they're also talking about literal bailouts for people who can't make their mortgage payments, and they're talking about changing insurance availability. They're doing exactly the same thing that created the problem. The only thing that will hold it together is the confidence in the dollar. And although printing money diminishes confidence in dollars, sometimes that confidence is not lost if the confidence is artificially held up by, say, military might and an economic might, and so it's perceived that we are the wealthiest and the strongest. This can convey some support for a dollar. But if we continue to mess up overseas where we can't even afford to manage our empire and we have some setbacks there and our economy turns down, all of a sudden it's catch-up. It's catch-up because we've had artificial support for the dollar, and the dollar has had the artificial support because it's the reserve currency. Now, if they quit using it as much as they have in the past as a reserve currency, and our military gets weaker and our economy slips, then I think we're in great danger of having a very, very serious dollar collapse.
You know, the housing implodometer online is showing 160 lenders are out of business in just the past 12 months alone. If we add to this that the adjustable rate mortgages are set to be peaking in the next month or so, and that will continue for at least a year at very high rates, particularly the subprimes that are also adjustable rate mortgages. Do you believe that the Fed is trying to cushion the blow that this is going to have on the economy, especially when construction and housing and related industries make up nearly 20% of our gross domestic product?
Oh, I think so. I think they probably do it with very good intentions. I mean, I'm sure they don't think of themselves as committing an evil act, although some of us think that government counterfeiting of money is an evil, immoral act and unconstitutional. But I think they believe they're smart enough to do this. One time Greenspan told me when I was challenging on this, he said, I did used to believe in a gold standard, but I believe we have, as central bankers, been able to learn how to make paper money act as if it were gold. So they believe in conviction in themselves that they can do central economic planning through monetary policy. I think the proof is that will come, because I don't think they can.
And you know, Congressman, just a few months ago, near the beginning of 2007, crude oil was trading at $50 a barrel. And here we see it in the $80 level, recently hitting all-time highs, but no major talk of war or hurricanes taking down a major city. Do you believe that this is entirely inflationary, or is this also a supply situation?
I think there's a lot of the supply and demand. Demand is high. We went into Iraq, and supplies from Iraq went down. I think that's a major part of it, and they're always talking about that, and sometimes they do talk about, you know, the potential problem with Iran. But hardly anybody talks about the price of oil being up because the value of the dollar is down. But I think that's a major reason people want more dollars on the international exchange market for their oil. And that's a major reason they'd like to only talk about the supply and demand and political events in the Middle East that's the cause. I think the inflation is a big part of it. But I also think, though, that there's a high chance that the next several months that we may well, our country, participate in bombing Iran. And if that happens, I think you can expect oil prices to go up strictly for that reason, not just the monetary inflation that will push it up.
Exactly. And wrapping up, when you're elected president next year, how long do you expect we'll have to wait before the new solid gold American Eagle coins with your likeness go into circulation?
Well, I hope that doesn't happen too fast, because I think that's a little bit bold. My goal would be to legalize as quickly as possible competing currencies here, where you could have a gold standard acting in parallel to the paper standard, where there would be no sales taxes and no capital gains taxes on gold. Give the people an option to get out of paper money and actually go to the bank and say, I think I'll put my savings in a gold savings account. And I think that would help all of us to have a better opportunity to get back to sound money.
Well, we'd love to talk to you all day, but I know that you are very busy, sir. Thank you so much for your time.
Great. Nice to be with you. Bye.
And that wraps up this Gold Seek Nugget. We hope you've enjoyed the segment brought to you by the great...
Okay, so there you have a very interesting interview. Very, very, I think, helpful interview with Ron Paul. to help us understand the issues that are before us, literally before us, transpiring at this moment in time. Major, major shifts happening in the financial world. Dr. Paul has an ability to make it more digestible, and it's not easy to understand. And it's the Fed and the bankers purposely make it a little bit denser than it needs to be, and they do things like hide the money supply figures so that we don't really know how much money they're creating. Folks, I am just absolutely blown away. I am looking at ronpaul2008.com. I am looking at the widget that they have on their website. In the time that I have been on the air, it has increased $11,000. $11,000 in 53 minutes. No, excuse me, that would be 43 minutes. $11,000 in 43 minutes. This thing is updating and going off with new contributions every few seconds. If you're not watching this, I mean, you're missing history. Log on to ronpaul2008.com. Thank you, Daniel Swenson of Tifton, Georgia. The last person just a second ago who contributed to the Ron Paul campaign. Now, if you haven't joined in on this party, log on to ronpaul2008.com. Do it right now. Here we go. Thank you, Sue Smith of Santa Ana, California. I mean, I could just sit here every few seconds and just read you the names of the people that are contributing. An absolute phenomenon. Every few seconds, a new contribution. $553,572 in less than 3 days. Less than 3 days. Absolutely phenomenal. Well on our way. The pace is actually accelerating. We were at about $7,000 an hour. Now, if we just did $11,000 in 40 some odd minutes, I think that's on a pace of like $15,000. That's twice the rate that it was going at yesterday. I can't even, I mean, we're going to blow a million. We blew 500,000 away. We're going to blow a million away. Please log on right now, ronpaul2008.com. Make your contribution, and you can see your name. Thank you, John Jolly of Linwood. Thank you, Robert Palmer of Dallas, Texas. Those came in back-to-back, seconds away from each other. Absolutely phenomenal. Please, right now, join in the party. It is just amazing. Now, if you're listening to this, I'd like you to do me... Thank you, Brent Mayberry. I'm telling you, this is, thank you, Thomas Rambo. I can't even get the name out of my mouth before another one pops up. Thank you, Thomas Rambo of Kalua Kone, Hawaii. Thank you. Please, do it right now. Why not? It's fun. Thank you, Zach Dweel of St. Louis, Missouri. Another one. This is real time. This is happening. Here, another one. Thank you, Matthew Heatwool of Yuma, Arizona. $553,874. So please go ahead and do that right now. There are a couple of absolutely major, thank you, Terry Berry. They keep coming. Thank you, Terry Berry of Ramona, California. Thank you, Jacob Smith of Fresno, California. I'm telling you, I can barely get the names out of my mouth before this thing updates with a new contribution. Every few seconds. Absolutely phenomenal. Okay. I'm going to try to click. Thank you, Barry Jenke of Blaine, Minnesota. Okay, I'm going to have to click off this page or I'll never get onto something else. Two provisions of the Patriot Act were ruled unlawful, unconstitutional by a federal judge. U.S. District Judge Ann Aiken ruled that Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, as amended by the Patriot Act, now permits the executive branch of government to conduct surveillance and searches of American citizens without satisfying the probable cause requirements of the Fourth Amendment. And this was ruled as unconstitutional. Like, duh. Okay, so now we have an official from a U.S. District Judge Ann Aiken. Now, I would like for everyone to send a letter to District Judge Ann Aiken and thank her for upholding the Constitution. Please do that. I don't know how to get a hold of her. I don't have that information. But it's Ann, A-I-K-E-N. She's a U.S. District court judge in Portland, Oregon. So please send her a nice letter, like a nice handwritten letter, and thank her. Thank her, really, truly thank her for standing up for the Constitution and doing her job. Thank you, Ann Aiken. Really, very much appreciated. You can Google this and find out. I'm getting it off of Yahoo News. Two Patriot Act provisions ruled unlawful, really should say unconstitutional, to be more specific. Very important news. Maybe, finally, somebody in the judicial system will take a stand. Now, what are they taking a stand against? This is something that'll both dismay you and tickle your funny bone in a certain odd way. I'm going to play a little piece of video. If we don't take a stand, if we don't have people like Ann Aitken standing up for the Constitution, here's where we're going. I'm going to go ahead and play this for you now.
Economy.
Oops. Hold on. Still getting the hang of this audio system here. Okay, that is off. And now, here we go. This is called Pizza Surveillance, directed by Mika Lacker, produced by the American Civil Liberties Union.
Pizza Palace, guaranteed hot in 30 minutes or it's free. This is Mary. May I take your order?
Hi, Mary. Yes, I'd like to order.
Is this Mr. Kelly?
Yes.
Thank you for calling again, sir. I share your national identification number as 610-204-9998-45-54610. Is that correct?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Kelly. I see you live at 736 Montrose Court, but you're calling from your cell phone. Are you at home?
I'm just leaving work, but I'm...
Oh, we can deliver to Bob's Auto Supply. That's at 175 Lincoln Avenue, yes?
No, I'm on my way home. How do you know all this stuff?
We just got wired into the system, sir.
Oh, well, I'd like to order a couple of your double meat special pizzas.
Sure thing. There'll be a new $20 charge for those, sir.
What do you mean?
Sir, the system shows me that your medical records indicate that you have high blood pressure and extremely high cholesterol. Luckily, we have a new agreement with your national health care provider that allows us to sell you double meat pies as long as you agree to waive all future claims of liability.
What?
Do you agree, sir? You can sign the form when we deliver, but there is a charge for processing. The total is $67 even.
$67?
Well, that includes the delivery surcharge of $15 to cover the added risk to our driver of traveling through an orange zone.
I live in an orange zone?
Now you do. Looks like there was another robbery on Montrose yesterday. Hmm. You could save $48 if you ordered our special Sprout Submarine Combo and picked it up yourself. Comes with tofu sticks. Those are very tasty, sir. Good value, too.
But I want double meat.
Well, I'm sure you can afford the $67, then. You just bought those tickets to Hawaii. They weren't cheap, eh? Oh, but I see you checked out the budget beach bum at the library last week. Hmm. Up to you, sir.
All right, all right. I'll get the Sprout subs.
Good choice, sir. Gotta watch that waist if you're hitting the beach, eh? 42 inches. Wow. Man, I'd say tofu and sprouts is, like, required.
That's how much?
Just between you and me, there's a $3 off coupon in this month's Total Men's Fitness magazine. Your wife, Betty, subscribes to that, right? Anyhow, clip that and it's $19.99 even. Whoa, looks like you maxed out on all your credit cards. Bring cash, okay?
Want to stop this from happening?
Okay, so it's even more entertaining in a odd kind of way if you see the video that goes with it. And you can, I think you just do a Google for pizza surveillance and you should be able to find that. It's also available in America, Freedom to Fascism. I believe it's included in that video as well. You know, if we don't get Ron Paul elected, and if we don't get other people like that Judge Aitken to stand up for the Constitution, you know, it was somewhat humorous in a dark way, but it's not going to be real funny. Totalitarianism, technological, total totalitarianism. Ain't going to be fun, folks. Ain't going to be fun. And they're just getting warmed up. And you know, if you don't think they're going to do it, think again. They're going to do it. They're doing it. Okay? We got to get Ron Paul elected. RonPaul2008.com. Get on there right now. Where are we? $555,619.64. Thank you, Philip Garunt. of Washington. Thank you, Carlo Alvarado of Redwood City, California. Unbelievable. Updating again. Let's see, who is it this time? 555,619 dollars and 64 cents. I mean, in just a few minutes since I clicked away, it went up like $3,000. Here we go again. Stephen Lando of San Francisco, California. Thank you very much. Okay, another piece of news for you. The U.S. Senate has passed a resolution essentially declaring Iran an enemy. This is not quite at the level of the authorization for Bush to invade Iraq, but it's pretty darn close. It basically says that we have all the evidence that we need to declare Iran an enemy, since they are supporting the terrorist groups in Iraq. They are organizing them. They are arming them to fight against the Iraqi state and the American presence in Iran. We know this to be true, and it's true because we say so. And when we say it's true, then it's true. And that's all you need to know. But we say so. So, there it is. And the sheeple in the Senate, I don't know about the House of Representatives, and I'm sure we're going to hear from Dr. Paul on this. The sheeple in the Senate, of course, went right along with it. I think the vote was ridiculously skewed in favor of this resolution. It's actually sort of an attachment to an amendment or something. They attached to something else. Anyway, it is very close to giving congressional consent to an attack on Iran. Very close. A major deal here. So I don't know if this requires the House of Representatives to also pass this. Not real clear on that. This is kind of breaking news, and I seem to have closed the page that had the text on this. Let me see if it's in the headlines. I'm not seeing it right off the bat here, but anyway, very important, because they are planning on attacking Iran. They are prepping your mind to accept it and to go along with it. So, you know, don't believe the hype, and stay tuned, because I'm sure we're going to hear from Dr. Paul on this. It's the major, major, major earth-shaking and just countrywide developments happening all around us at these times. The preparation for attacking Iran, the financial crisis unfolding right before us, the Ron Paul revolution taking hold and growing at an exponential rate. All of these things transpiring at the same time. We really do live in momentous times. Now is the time to get involved. If you've been concerned but passive, if you've been disgruntled and disgusted with American governance, now's the time. This is the candidate. This is the movement. This is it. The it that you have been waiting for. This is it. Get on board the freedom train. Join the Ron Paul revolution. Listen to the freedom message and spread it. Shout it out loud. Get it out there. Join ronpaul.meetup.com. Get busy with your local meetup, your local Ron Paul meetup. Tomorrow in Los Angeles, we're meeting at the corner of Sepulveda in Ventura to do a sign waving during rush hour in a very busy intersection. Anything like that. Hey, you don't like talking to people? You can hold a sign in your hands, can't you? Stand on a street corner with 20 other people holding a sign. Show that there is an alternative to people. Spread that name. It's all you got to do. Whatever you can do, do it. If that's all you can do, do it. If you can do more, do that. And contribute. Contribute. Get on right now. RonPaul2008.com. Make that contribution. Tonight, there is a debate. The All-American Presidential Forum on PBS, moderated by Tavis Smiley. I'm not going to be able to watch it. Got to work. But I'm anticipating that this is going to be something positive for Dr. Paul. Now, apparently this is an African-American themed. I don't know all the ins and outs. I don't know exactly how this is going down or who's going to be on the panel and who's going to be asking the questions, where the questions are going to be coming from. Tavis Smiley is a recognized African-American journalist, and I've actually liked a lot of what I've heard him say on radio shows. I don't know too much about him, but he did do a somewhat positive interview with Dr. Paul at one point, and I'm sure you could Google that, Tavis Smiley and Ron Paul. That's tonight at 6 p.m., 9 to 10:30 p.m. Eastern, which would be 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 to 10:30 p.m. Eastern, and 6 to 10 Pacific. So coming up in about an hour and a half or so. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and wrap the show up and play you out with the same song we started the show with, because I want you to hear it again. Just kind of kick back and give this a nice listen. Listen to Scott Mitchell's voice. Listen to the words of the song. And here we go. Got to find it. Here we go. All right, so I'm looking forward to talking to you tomorrow. Of course, we'll be talking about the debate, and we'll take that apart for you. And Stephen Vincent. The Freedom Message, Ron Paul, freedommessage.com. RonPaul.freedommessage.com. Here we go. The Freedom Message by Scott Mitchell. Pennsylvania. Thank you, Kevin Sprisler, Westchester, Pennsylvania. Thank you, Brendan Bixler, New York, New York. $558,130. Thank you, Will Penny, Denton, Texas. Thank you, Kenneth Loricella, Middletown, Rhode Island. Elliott, White Lake, Michigan. Linda De Avezzato, Salt Lake City, Utah. Thank you, Michael Schwab, Omaha, Nebraska.